worship at the altar of the pigskin. We're recording this on Super Bowl Sunday, which, of course, is a huge event. I was looking around today, and I saw that there are no NBA games today and only two college basketball games, and both of the college basketball games are set to finish before the Super Bowl starts. So this is so we can all properly worship at the altar of the pigskin. And I noticed a few years ago that the links between or the transitions from event to event like that are continuous, and there doesn't seem to be a significant gap. So once we finish with Super Bowl Sunday, with the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl Sunday, we move directly into the build-up to March Madness. And then at the end of March Madness is the beginning of the baseball season. And then after the beginning of the baseball season, you have the NBA playoffs. And there's no downtime for this. And it just strikes me two things. One is that this is all big business and time is money. And they want to make sure that there isn't any downtime. And second, and perhaps just as important, is that there is no downtime in the distraction when we could stop and take stock of our lives. Instead, it is the Super Bowl. How fun is that? Wow, I'm so excited for March Madness. Wow, it's the beginning of the baseball season. There's always, and we can do the same thing with politics where, I mean, have you noticed that how often they explicitly use the language of the horse race for political races, that it is all entertainment. And of course, that's part of the addictive brilliance of, for example, Facebook, where not only do we have exciting Super Bowl Sunday, but now I can check it now and see if somebody liked one of my comments. I can check it now and see if I got a new message. I can check it. The same with email, but it's so exciting. I can get these little hits of endorphins because, oh my God, somebody sent me an email. And so that's one of the brilliant parts of mass media and high technology are making all of this go faster and faster and faster so that we have ever less time to, ever less downtime. You know, Fahrenheit 451 was written, I believe, in the 50s. And it is so much worse now than when he described it. There's a quote I want to find. So when I was newly 21, I read Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451. And he had some quotes that were very meaningful to me at the time, and I wrote them down in my quote book on 12/27/1981. These are three or four quotes from Fahrenheit 451 that have to do with the fact that this is Super Bowl Sunday, and then after this comes March Madness, and after that comes something else, and after that comes something else. The first quote, Clarice to Guy. People don't talk about anything. Oh, they must. No, not anything. They name a lot of cars or clothes or swimming pools mostly and say how swell. But they all say the same things, and nobody says anything different from anyone else. And most of the time in cafes, they have the joke boxes on, and the same jokes most of the time, or the musical wall, lit color, and all abstract. And the museums, have you ever been? All abstract. That's all there is now. My uncle says it was different once. A long time back, sometimes pictures said things or even showed people. The next quote. Let me alone, said Mildred. I didn't do anything. Guy said to Mildred, let you alone? That's all very well, but how can I leave myself alone? We need to not be let alone. We need to be really bothered once in a while. How long is it since you were really bothered about something important, something real? The third of four quotes. Beatty to Guy. Ask yourself, what do we want in this country above all? People want to be happy, isn't that right? Haven't you heard it all your life? I want to be happy, people say. Well, aren't they? Don't we keep them moving? Don't we give them fun? That's all we live for, isn't it? For pleasure, for titillation? And you must admit our culture provides plenty of these. And the final one. Don't give them any slippery stuff like philosophy or sociology to tie things up with. That way lies melancholy. Any man who can take a TV wall apart and put it back together again, and most men can nowadays, is happier than any man who tries to slide rule, measure, and equate the universe, which just won't be measured or equated without making the man feel bestial and lonely. I know, I've tried it. To hell with it. So bring on your clubs and parties, your acrobats and magicians, your daredevils, jet cars, motorcycle helicopters, your sex and heroin, more of everything to do with automatic reflex. If the drama is bad, if the film says nothing, if the play is hollow, sting me with the theremin, loudly. I'll think I'm responding to the play when it's only a tactile reaction to vibration. But I don't care. I just like solid entertainment. I want to be really clear. I don't have a problem with entertainment. I don't have a problem with the Super Bowl. I don't have a problem with sports. I don't have a problem with sports watching. It's just, there's a line from the movie Psycho where Norman Bates is talking about taxidermy as his hobby, and he has a line about, but hobbies are supposed to pass the time, not fill them. All of this makes me think about Thoreau's famous line about most men live lives of quiet desperation. And I think that, and of course, we're not just talking about sports with this. We're talking about Oscar season. We're talking about Dancing with the Stars. We're talking about America's Got Talent. We're talking about when the new cars come out. We're talking about all these ways to keep us distracted. And I think what this all is saying to me, and there have been times in my life when I have experienced this too, when I have been unhappy. Most of my life I have not been unhappy, but there have been times when I have been, and I just put in time until it's time to go to sleep, and I kill time until it's time to go to sleep, and then I wake up and do it again. There's a very famous song about this. You load 16 tons, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. And that's capitalism. That's the system. And what capitalism teaches us to do, and what this wretched system teaches us to do, is to put in time until it's time to go to sleep. And get up and do it again. And then put in time until it's time to go to sleep. And get up and do it again until you put in time, until it's time for that long, dreamless sleep at the end.